clothes.
Hey, JJ, when I was in college, we had an economics class, micro and macro economics. And that teacher, although it was several years ago, and I doubt if I could, you know, recant everything that she's taught us, but she proved to us that it's not possible, and we don't want our government to have a balanced budget because it's fixed and it's rigid. And we learned from the Depression the first time that if you treat the government with a balanced budget, like your household where you have an income mm-hmm. and you have an outgo flow, then that's so rigid that you can crash the market. But if you don't have a balanced budget, if you create the money out of thin air, like mortgages, mm-hmm. there's no money in a mortgage. All of a sudden, poof, someone's got a debt, but there's no exchange of money. And you wrote about this, too, about our economic system's a VISTA system, mm-hmm. system. So there's no money. So there's no balanced budget. So there's no way to balance a budget.
Well, in the first Depression, Hoover was really strict about attempting to balance the budget. And what they didn't do is they didn't put enough money into the system to keep credit flowing. But that was only one of the mistakes they made. They made quite a few different mistakes. So we go either one extreme or the other. We had the extreme where they were very strict, and Hoover also, but he made quite a few mistakes. The balancing, they could have balanced the budget and made things work. But see, he also increased taxes a lot in an attempt to balance the budget. That really hurt the people a lot.
Right. And now our government throws money into the economy by adjusting the interest rates so that people can create money from nothing, basically. And that's how they keep us from going into a depression. So mm-hmm. balancing a budget, the average person not knowing macroeconomics, the average person thinks the government runs like our household. There's so much money I earn, there's so much money I spend.
Well, it needs to run more like our household. See, what Congress thinks is because they have power to print money or borrow money, they think, well, this is a good project. We'll just borrow some more money. A little bit more won't hurt. You know, it's like boiling the frog. Now, this is another good thing to spend money on, but a little bit more won't hurt. And we'll spend money on this, and a little bit more won't hurt. But when you add it all up together, you know, all the money they're spending does hurt.
But spending on the government, when you say spending, they're actually putting money into the economy. When they're buying $5,000 hammers and $2,000 toilet seats, they're actually putting...
But there's different ways to put the money into the economy. Mm-hmm. It's like FDR borrowed a lot of money and put it into the economy, and for a while unemployment went down from 24%, I think, down to about 12%. Mm-hmm. And then in 1938, when the projects he was spending money on, the projects were done. Mm-hmm. Then unemployment went back up to 20%. Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden they FDR said, wait, we need to spend a bunch more money. And Congress says, well, we don't have much more money.
But
you know, so the spending, if you just spend on public projects, you can reduce unemployment for a short period of time, but when Hoover Dam or whatever is completed, then the money is spent and it's just done, and then everybody's unemployed and the unemployment rate goes right back up.
So now we throw money in businesses. Now there's all kinds of startup funds and capital for starting new businesses.
Yeah, if the money goes toward creating entrepreneurial type business, mm-hmm. then when a business is ongoing, then the person has a job there, mm-hmm. The job continues. Job continues as long as the business continues. Therefore, putting money into developing business is a lot more productive than hiring people to go build a bridge or something like that. Yeah, you do need the infrastructure, but you don't. Yeah, but the point is, you don't just do makeshift work to put people to work, but create the necessary infrastructure. But don't expect permanent jobs from the infrastructure.
Well, it's clear. I mean, you use the wrong word saying we're spending money so we don't go bankrupt. Clearly, they're spending money because they just want the wheels. They don't want the engine to grind to a halt because they're afraid of what the result will be.
Right.
Poorly worded, but it makes sense.
And really, the Republicans started this last, you know, the bailout. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bailing, I'd rather bail out GM, I think, than bail out banks. I don't know. But they're so worried about credit not flowing, and then
yeah, the reason they bailed out the banks had us scared that if we didn't bail them out, money would be worth nothing, you know, and so. Nobody still knows if that
really
accomplished anything or not.
Gold really isn't worth anything. Nothing's really worth anything except for unless we use it for some real strategic kind of purpose where it's actually like gold printed circuit boards or something. But it really, when they go, well, we all went wrong when we went off of gold. Gold's only worth something because we said it was worth something. It isn't worth any more than paper.
Yeah, we got a big division in this group about gold. We were talking about it on the keys. And we had a really heated discussion over it. So we probably shouldn't get into gold. Part of the group really wants gold and part of it doesn't. So.
Not talking about gold, but just responding to what you said. There are, I think, good economists who would argue that everything, if you'd have stayed with Hoover, as uninteresting and boring as an idiot he was, he would have been a lot better. We'd have gotten out of the Depression years, maybe decades before. And the things that Roosevelt did, you know, tragically extended the Depression, created the problems, and now we have the legend that he saved the country, but it's total BS by a lot of pretty good economists.
Yeah, and everybody's got an opinion, and I couldn't argue her opinion except I've heard that position, and it does seem to make sense.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons my book has taken so long. It's difficult to think up a solution that the majority will accept and get behind that I think would really work. You know, and, Larry.
The Fed actually caused the problem. The Fed caused the Depression. The same Fed we have right now that caused our mortgage crisis and the root of it caused the Depression. They caused the bust because the Federal Reserve was created and they expanded easy credit. People started just investing money in junk ideas and it all came crashing down. Same thing with the mortgage. The government created the problem, and they said, we're the solution, and they tragically kept the Depression going. Mm-hmm. And that is a point of view that I think that is not given credits. Everybody just, obviously he saved it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what Roosevelt had going for him, he was a great personality, a little bit like Obama in the fact that everybody really liked him. And so he could get just about anything through that he wanted. Matter of fact, he kind of took things a bit too far when he tried to throw in three more justices in the Supreme Court and tried to stack it so he could control the Supreme Court and get the Supreme Court to rubber stamp anything he wanted. Then even his own party turned on him, and that's one of the reasons the Democrats themselves put in the two-term limit and supported it. Even his own party got a little bit scared of him near the end, but to his credit, he did a good job of fighting World War II. He's, you know, got some criticism. There are some things he could have done better, but
he also confiscated all the gold.
Yeah, but at least we won the war. I mean, that was a major thing for him to accomplish.
But the unveiling book is not like that. I mean, the unveiling is just—it's even more controversial, and it's the first of its kind. Nobody has anything out there like the unveiling, and it's it's not boring. You know, it's more controversial than Fixing America, and it's more interesting to me, anyways.
Yeah, to people like us, it would be.
Mm-hmm. But I think there are a lot of us.
Even like fundamentalists, I mean, that the subject, like Revelations and stuff like that.
That's we ought to do some marketing with it. We're a little bit sluggish getting that out, but.
Because I think that one's awesome. That one is, I mean, whether you're going to a church or not, it's the first time anybody's ever said Revelation means to reveal. To learn something. To learn how to be a Christ-like. It's the first time that's ever been out there, ever.
And shocking to them to tell them the book Revelation's prophecies are not going to come to pass.
Exactly. That's controversial.
Yeah, I say
not literally, anyway. You know, there's things here and there in the book Revelations that will happen. It's like, everybody remembers Chernobyl, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, was that related?
Yeah, and Chernobyl comes from some root or something that means wormwood, and it talks about some star falling from heaven named Wormwood that destroys one-third of life on Earth. And when Chernobyl went off, everybody put that connection together. Oh, man, this is a book of Revelations happening right here. We're going to have This is going to be the beginning of one third of the life on the earth being destroyed. Well, what's that been, 30 years ago or something, and you know, nothing happened. But I've seen this happen several times in my lifetime. Certain things in the book of Revelation seems to be happening, and everybody says, oh, this is the sixth seal, or this is the seventh seal, or this is whatever. And they're expecting big things to happen, but never does. So one thing I hope doesn't happen, it talks about an army of 200 million men that will march against
Israel.
You know, back in John's day, that was a fantastic number to come up with. There wasn't 200 million people on the earth when John wrote that. So it was an interesting number for him to come up with. But an army now, a worldwide army of some kind of 200 million people is actually possible in this age.
200 million Muslims, because I don't think the Chinese are really interested in invading.
You wouldn't think so. Yeah.
There's logistical problems, among other things.
Yeah. It says they'll come on horses, so, you know, we know that's not going to happen. There's not 200 million horses. Of course, a horse, if people say John looking in the future, he whatever they were riding on, he just described it as a horse, you know. But, yeah, it's interesting to think of it as the path of the disciple rather than just a strict black and white predictions that will come to pass. Yeah. Like I say, a lot of the things do, when you read the book, a lot of the things do happen periodically. We do have a beast-like character like a Hitler or Mao or a Nero surface periodically in history. When Hitler showed up, a lot of people thought he was the beast in the book of Revelation.
Well, he fit the bill in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And the beast, it says the beast will have put a mark on your right hand or your forehead. Well,
yeah.
Hitler, you know where Hitler put the mark on the Jews?
Right, on the left hand.
The left hand. Now, why did he pick the left hand?
Because
he didn't want to be identified with the beast. He said, well, I'm going to put a mark on these guys. If I put it on the right hand, they'll think I'm the beast, so I'll put it on the left hand. So, yeah, everybody's thinking, well, yeah, everybody's going to get like a chip implanted, and you'll run your arm over the cash register, put your forehead on the cash register if you're missing an arm or whatever. It's what a lot of the fundamentalists are thinking. But can you imagine what would happen if the powers that be says, okay, everybody's got to get a chip planted in the right hand or they can't buy or sell? I mean,
yeah, no, exactly.
60% of the people, at least, or the majority, are familiar with the prophecies, and they would think, "Oh man, this is the beast. We can't get any chip in our right." And so, even the government would do the same thing Hitler did. Okay, we'll make it left hand.
Well, we'll start off with a card that just goes in your wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Hillary had that national ID card and it went away because of that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah, people are afraid of, I mean, that prediction about the beast in the 13th chapter of Revelation has put the fear of God in a lot of people about a beastly type character controlling everybody. So, what's that?
If you had that chip, you would have the ultimate control, you know, the buy or sell thing.
Well, we are going to get chips of all variety.
Already. I mean, they're chipping pets in there. They haven't put that GPS on them.
Because as a builder, myself and every other builder that I know, you know, my business has been probably 75% under the table.
Yeah.
And most builders I know are, you know, 25 to 50 to 75% under the table.
Yeah.
And
now,
all of that will change. And
now, do you
change everything?
Yeah, right. Do you think... it's just about... Well, I got 20 after. What time you got?
Well, we need to be there at 12:30.
Oh, we need to be there at 12:30? I thought we were going to end at 12:30.
That's 12.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to be there at 12:30. We need to end now. But I'll end with this sentence. Do you think a business would... the government really wants to implant a chip? It would... I don't know. There's a lot of different ways they could do it. You know.
Put it in your cell phone, because there's a lot of proposals use cell phones to pay.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to really implant anything unless it's always possible.
But they like being able to track everything.
Well, they want to be able to.